Okay. There's a lot to do today. We're up to Siman Sadi Beis Se'if Ches, and Be'ezus Hashem, I also want to cover Se'if Tes. And also part of this conversation will involve how we kash our ovens. And since Yom Tov of Pesach is coming up, so this is actually a practical issue. So Sadi Beis Se'if Ches tells me. It's based on the Tshuvas HaRosh. The Tshuvas HaRosh is in Klal Chof Os Chofov, that Zeya has a din of the thing it came from. Meaning to say, the Mishnayos and Machshirin speak about how there is something called Hechsher L'Kabel Tumah, that food cannot be Mekabel Tumah until it comes in contact with water. But the Yutan Maimo, Zera the Torah tells us in Parshas Shmini that until food comes in contact with water or any of the other mashkin, there's Zay mashkin, Yad Shel Hadam, right? Until food comes in contact with that water, the food cannot be mekabel tumah. The Mishnah speaks about a merchat shehiziyah, that if you have a merchat and it's giving off its zeya, so the zeya has a din of the merchatz, meaning zeya of a davar tameh is considered tameh, zeya of a davar tahor is considered tahor, it's just hefshar l'kabel tumah. That's what the Mishnah says. Based on this halacha, so the Rosh writes in that tshuva klal chaf os chavav, that if I have a machvas with cholov in it, I have a frying pan, and there is liquid in the frying pan, and that liquid goes up to a kedera shel basar, that liquid goes up and there is a fleishik pot on top. So the zeya is ola v'nivla b'kedera v'osrasa. The din is that the zeya asers the kedera. If the Rama adds, you have shishim of the food, can I get the zeya? So then the kedera is a problem, but the food is going to be okay. And then the Rama adds that this halacha is only true if the zeya is yad soledes bo. If the zeya is not yad soledes, it does not create a problem. However, if the zeya is not yad soledes, but the upper pot is yad soledes, it still creates a problem. Okay, so the basic Judaism is that there's a din of zeya, and zeya creates Zeya of milchiks is milchik. Zeya of fleishiks is fleishik. Steam is a problem. That's the basic halacha that's found in the tshuva of the Rosh. Now, it's worth noting just that the Rosh is not accepted by everyone. Look in the Mishkanes Yankiv, Siman Lamed Daled. Mishkanes Yaakov has a comment that the tshuva of the Rivash argues on the Rush. And this is mamish relevant because what's the status of schnapps? Right? People know what schnapps is? Scotch, right? Rye, bourbon, vodka, right? How do you get these things? So what you do is you ferment a grain and it creates some sort of gas. And that gas goes up and it becomes scotch. If it's in Scotland, it becomes bourbon. If it's in Kentucky, right? Based on the place where it is in the world, it becomes something different. So what's the status of that stuff, klapei the dinum of chametz shebe Pesach? Ooh. Right? We spoke about how Rav Soloveitchik was machmir not to sell chametz gamur for Pesach. Right? The Rav felt that selling chametz is what we call a ha'aroma. It's a loophole which should not be employed. So the Rav says you can only sell chametz that is taruvas chametz, because there are some shittas and rishonim, Rabbeinu Tam holds that taruvas chametz, you don't finally buy your own, buy your matzah min ha'Torah. So they asked the Rav, they said, hey, Rabbi Soloveitchik, am I allowed to sell my scotch to a non-Jew for Pesach? Because you hold that you can't sell d'oraisas. So the Rav used to say in French, "Besser nicht zu fragen," right? Better not to ask the question, right? Meaning, the Rav is saying, maybe scotch is mamish chametz. Now, it happens historically that the reason why mechiras chametz became a widespread thing is because Jews had an aranda, right? In the time of Rishonim, Jews were given exclusive rights to particular businesses, and one of them was the selling of alcohol. So Jews had lots of scotch, and they wanted to sell the scotch to solve that problem. The Rav is assuming, although he's not saying it befamish, that maybe the scotch is chametz gomer. The Rivash is quoted by the Mishkanis Yankiv. The Rivash says, if I have scotch, or I have some fermentation that comes from Yayin Nesach, so in that case, it's considered usher. Because Yayin Nesach is mamish usher bahana'ah. And not only is Yayin Nesach usher bahana'ah, but since Yayin Nesach is from Avodah Zarah, even the Efer of Yayin Nesach is usher. However, let me just finish that up, Mr. Pellichwartz. However, the Rivash says this is only true of the Efer of Yayin Nesach, which is usher bahana'ah. It's only true of Yayin Nesach. The Zay of Yayin Nesach has a dun like Efer, and the Efer is going to be Aser Bahana'ah. But if I have Zay of anything else, like scotch, even though Chametz B'Pesach is Aser Bahana'ah, but the Efer is going to be Mutter, by Basar B'Cholov, even though it's Aser Bahana'ah, but the Efer is Mutter, right? We spoke about that. So therefore, the scotch is like the Efer. And therefore, the scotch won't be also. So the Mishkanis Yankiv, Rabbi Yaakov of Karlin, says, the Rivash argues on this Chuvas HaRash. The Rush says, Zeya has the status of from whence it came. The Rivash disagrees. Hello, Mr. Daniel Schwartz.
Hi. First of all, I got that by the question of the Efer of the Chametz. Isn't that Torah and Machloket, Rabbi Yehuda and Chametz? But because Rabbi Yehuda thinks it's one of the Nisrachim, or the Chametz in Bizar, or Ruach, or whatever.
I mean, we pass in the Farchal Kaidim Zman, I guess for sure, Mutter. I think one of the Chalachim Sachim says that if you burn the Chametz before this man, it's definitely going to be Mutter. Uh-huh. Right, so let's say, make my scotch. I'm not making my scotch on Pesach. That's really risky. But I'm making my scotch before Pesach. Okay.
So, and also bourbon, by definition, has to be weakly made of corn. I thought, right?
Oh.
Right. That's all the
I mean, if you want to get me on the mitzvahs of like particular beverages, you know, I'm happy to be gotten.
Let's say scotch.
Yeah. Okay. Or rye.
Yeah.
Or there's like... There used to be a liquor store here on the, there still is, but it used to be Jewish owned, and there used to be a rabbi here in town. So there was a Jew who owned the liquor store. So when I went to Mechiras Chametz every year, I had to do it's a large deal. So I have to do a separate deal with the guy. You know, it's not like I have a couple of things of oatmeal. Like there's a Jew who has, $200,000 of Chametz inventory. So John Brown, may he rest in peace. John Brown was always very excited about the deer. He's like, I'm going to own $200,000 of scotch, rye, and bourbon. Like, oh yeah. He's like, John Brown's like, and I can take a drink? Like, absolutely. It's yours. Like, you know, enjoy. Like, it's your store. 181st Street, like in Broadway. It's yours. Enjoy it. Again, it's a little bit of a complicated sale because the store would be open on Pesach. Right? So that's already complicated. Rav Soloveitchik didn't like these sales because he felt that the whole yesod of a sale is undermined by that. If I sell something and I continue to be nohag, like I was nohag before it was sold, so it can't be a mechira. Rabbi Belsky, Rav Schechter quotes in the Sefer Mipnei Harav, Rabbi Belsky had a right to this yesod from Choshen Mishpat, Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva, Negris Moshe, that's actually written to Reb David Rachman. Rabbi David Rachman was a Rosh Hashiva here in Yeshiva from 1919 to 1921. He was the father of Rabbi Manny Rachman. Rabbi David Rachman was a Rav in Albany after he was a businessman in Albany. He didn't want to be a Rav. He was a businessman in Albany, very big Talmud Chacham though. So in that tribute to Reb David Rachman, Rav Moshe was makel on selling the chametz So a Jew is going to continue doing business with the chametz. We had a better way of doing it than Rav Moshe had, but okay. Now, according to Rav Moshe, basically you'd sell the chametz to the guy, and then when the Jew would sell a bottle of scotch, the Jew is stealing from the guy. And Moshe says it's still better to do that because instead of having 190,000 bottles of scotch, right? So now you have 187,623 bottles, and you violate by your Rabbi Yimotze on whatever the difference is. That's a famous Chuvah Nigros Moshe. But let's go back. Rivash says that Zeya does not have the status of the thing from where it came. That's against the Chuvah Harosh, the Mishnah Siyankiv writes. And the Mishnah Siyankiv goes on to show that, you know what? Rashi agrees with the Rivash. We did this Rashi on Kuf Ches. The Gemara says that Niero Kisa, right? It makes, if I have a tipas cholov that falls on a piece of meat. So if I stir the pot or I cover the pot, so then the tipas cholov is considered a chelek of the entire pot. If you have shishim in the entire pot, mevato the tipas cholov. Niyar or kisa. How does kisa work? The Rashi writes that the mehashulayim is olam ad lamala, that the water goes up. Why is Rashi saying the water goes up? Why doesn't Rashi say the steam goes up? Says the Mishnah Yaakov, because steam is not halachically a nutton. Steam doesn't matter. Water matters. The pot's mamish got to be boiling, right? So that the water goes up. The fact that Rashi says it that way shows that Rashi disagrees with the Rush. Rashi holds that Hevel, which is the equivalent of Zeya, like it says here in Shulchan Aruch, Zeya, doesn't do anything. It's only Mayim that does something. The Mishkanes Yaakov writes that the Rambam also agrees with the Rivash and Rashi. The Rambam in his presentation of this din of, what's it called? The Mishnah is in the second parak of Machshirim, that the Zeyah of Tahara has a din of Tahara, Zeyah of Tumah has a din of Tumah. The Rambam presents it, and his Lashon is that it's Kimayim. Says the Mishkanes Yaakov, Kimayim means not Mayim. Kimayim means, in his words, it's like a tolda of Mayim. There's a special halacha that told us mashkim are significant with respect to tumah and tahara, but told us mashkim are insignificant when it comes to isser and heter. So Mishkanes Yaakov stacks the deck. Rashi, Rambam, Rivash against the Rush. And, says the Mishkanes Yaakov, the Gaonim paskin like Rashi, Rivash, Rambam. Because we learned in Siman Pei Zayin that cholav shebekevim is not cholav. No? Milk in the animal's stomach loses its din of milk. And there was a machlokes harishayinim and the gaonim how much the milk has to change to lose its din of milk. And the gaonim assume even liquid milk in the stomach is called pir sheba'alma. That means that any tiny change makes it lose the status of milk. Says the Mishkanes Yaakov, from here you see that any tiny change makes it lose the status of milk, and the Rush is wrong. The Mishkanes Yaakov says, I'm not convinced to be Mekel Mashita. I'm only going to be Mekel Mashita, he says, if you have somebody who was supposed to sell his scotch before Pesach and forgot to sell the scotch. So in that situation, we'll be mekel since chometz shavar lav for Pesach is only a knas d'rabbanan. So we'll be mekel that, says the Mishnah Shach, we'll be mekel like my svara that it is not a problem. But on the d'oraisa, he's not convinced to be mekel. But the cha'orav, the Mishkanes Yaakov is willing to be mekel. So then maybe from a chiras chometz, it's good enough, and the minhag ha'olam to sell the chometz, including the scotch, right, is based on this Mishkanes Yaakov, who really likes the Rivash, Rambam, Rashi. But Shulchan Aruch Based on the Rush assumes that the Zeya creates an issue. So what do I do with an oven? I have a Milchiger oven, and because I cook Milchiks in it, and now I want to cook Fleischiks. Can I cook Milchiks and Fleischiks in the same oven? So there are various shitos, and it seems to me that people who present the shitos, there's an article by Rabbi Jachter in the Journal of Halacha and Contemporary Society, where he presents the various shitos what to do. And I think on one detail, he's incorrect. But let's go slowly. The pashtus is, if I have an oven, the zeya from the cholov goes up and has a din of cholov. So now my oven roof is cholov. I cook basar in the oven afterwards, so the zeya of the basar goes up and it becomes fleishik. That means my oven just became basar b'cholov. And presumably I have to be concerned that what's going to happen is that the basar b'cholov will come back down into my food. And therefore, I have a real problem. Based on this, Reb Fayev Cohen in the Badei HaShulchan writes, and Rabbi Forst has this in his English language Kashrus book. Reb Fayev writes that the way it's on page Resh Yud Aleph and following, a very, very long beer of the Badei HaShulchan. Reb Fayev writes, so what you should do is you should designate your oven one gender, meaning I can designate that my oven is going to be fleishik, and I'll cook fleishiks uncovered, and fleishik steam will get into the oven. Milchiks, I will only cook covered, because my only concern is that maybe fleishik zeya will come down. Once it's covered, it's not going to be a problem. That's what Reb Fayev writes. Reb Fayev has a bit of a chumrah. I don't know, a bit of chumrah, a huge chumrah. The last line in the Ramah here in Sadi Beis Ches, Ramah writes, L'chatzchila yesh lizahir b'kolzeh. Right, the Ramah talks about that if I cover something, so there's no concern that the zeyah goes up and through, but l'chatzchila, I should be zahir. Right, if I cover it, it's like shtei kederos nogel zebezeh. I have a milchik pot and a fleishik pot. They touch. Who cares? Right? The flavor in the milchik pot won't transfer to a fleishik pot, like we spoke about. Unless there's some liquid medium between them, it doesn't create a problem. But the Ramah concludes yeshli zahir b'chozeh. This Ramah is based on the Sharei Dura Simin Nun Aleph. So yeshli zahir b'chozeh. Reb Fayev understands that means that you should be machmir on shtei kederos nogos. That means I should also be machmir that if I have an oven, my oven has racks in it. If I have steam that goes up from my oven, the steam will come back down, make my oven racks fleishik, let's say. L'chatchil, I should not put milchiks on a fleishik oven rack. So I should have separate racks for milchiks and fleishiks. No safalkach, I have a range top and I have little tripods, no? That support the pots on my range top. I have separate ones, milchik and fleishik. Gentlemen, this is a huge chumrah. Yes?
Just to clarify, that also need to be done separate stoves, right?
Slowly?
Just to clarify, that also need to be separate stoves, right?
I need separate stoves. By stove, you mean range top or...
Yeah,
in other words, he says that even on the range top, I should have one side for milchik, one side for fleishik, and I should not use the same tripod on the range top for both milchik and fleishik. The chatzila yesh li zoher with bol zeh. The Moshe Feinstein, Igris Moshe, Chelak Aleph of Yerideya, Simin Mem. The Moshe Feinstein writes that this entire thing is not correct. A certain Shoel wrote to Rav Moshe with a number of tzedim lahakel by zeya, right? There's a tshuva in the Bach that the zeya will escape if you have a vent in the oven. So you could assume that the zeya will escape. Rav Moshe says that's not true in our ovens. The Zeya, like even our ovens have a little bit of a vent, but the vent is not large enough, the Zeya will escape. The Maisha deals with a number of other possibilities, but effectively, the Moshe says that you want to use the same oven for Mochus and Fleisha because the preferred method is what Reb Feivel says. But if you don't do it that way, so you're always going to have shishim in the food, connected the amount of Zeya that comes down, it's always going to be okay. So Mahalach 1 for using the same oven for Milchix and Fleishix is cover one gender all the time. That's one Mahalach. Reb Aaron Luchten, Sinza Parenda Lebracha, said that all you have to do is wait 24 hours between uses of the oven, because after 24 hours, it becomes no sin time of gan. Maybe there's going to be a little bit of be'en on the top of the oven after 24 hours. So first of all, we had the shita and shulchan aruch, that even a tiny bit of be'en can become no sin time of gan after 24 hours. Second of all, you look at it, you inspect it, you wipe it down, not a problem. Rabbi Varon says, just wait 24 hours between uses. Reb Shechter and Rav Mordechai Gifter, Zechron Levracha, Rav Shechter Shlita, Mordechai Gifter, Zechron Levracha, they're actually related, no? One of Rebbe's and Shechter's sisters married a Gifter, yeah.
Is that like
I think the assumption is that this is not a chatchila because I only have one oven at home. If I could have two ovens, right? Okay, so listen, I live in the Heights. I have a very small kitchen. Right? You live in, I don't know, like there's some people who have a kitchen which is, you know, the size of the YU kitchen. And you could have Milchik and Fleishik and Par of like five different homes. Okay, like great. But it's considered the oven. I only have one oven. And I want to have Milchiks the next day. I have Fleishiks. It's the oven. Right? I should point out, by the way, the Chizki Chuvah here quotes that the whole din of Zeya quotes in the Anhagas Issa Beheta of the Prima Gadin. Chizki Chuvah Osvav quotes that there's only Zeya from Mashkim, not from Ochon. We'll talk about that in a few minutes.
And the Roshan endorsed the covering one and not covering the other.
Yeah. Again, Rav Moshe would say that Bidi Evid, it's going to be okay anyway. Reb Aaron says, well, that's good. You can use it one after another, just wait 24 hours. Reb Shechter and Reb Gifter, when he was Nifter, the journal Yeshurun had Reb Baruch Hirschfeld, who's a Rosh Kula in Cleveland. He wrote a psukim that he heard from Reb Gifter. Reb Shechter says this was like standard among Rabbonim like 50 years ago, that they use the same oven for Mochix and Fleishix, one after the other. Now, what's the pshat in that? So there are people who say this wrong, in my opinion. People say that there's no concern of Zeya, there's only a concern of Hevel. Hevel means a very thick steam. The way Rav Shechter says it's like pea soup, right? Very thick steam. Zeya is very, just small steam. If you look in the Bir Hagra over here in Ice, Lamites, the Bir Hagra quotes two sources for the din of Shulchan Aruch. One source is the Gemara about Niyar Kisa and the Rashi. That would sound like Yimamish need Mayim, that Yimamish need thicker stuff. The second source is the Rush of Machshirin. Some understand that what Rav Shechter means is that he's only concerned with very thick stuff, like the Rashi would say. Like Yimamish need Mayim or pea soup. Yimamish need a very significant amount. But if you just have small amounts of steam, that doesn't count. That's not correct. Rav Shechter wrote a tshuva to the OU, where he says that Zeya is significant. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. The only thing is, the question is, once Zeya goes up, do you have to be choshesh it's going to come down? Remember, we had dinim in this simon that if a tip of cholah falls keneged ha'esh, the esh is sarfel. The hot oven on the top could be seiref the zeya that goes up. So the zeya has a bliya of cholah in the top, but I don't have to worry, that's going to come down. By the way, in that same true as Harash, he's mesupik. Maybe if you have a hot thing on top, it won't come down because it's going to be sorrowful. For some reason, that point in the rush does not make it to Shulchan Aruch. But your chapter really is not saying that Zeya is not a problem. If I have a piece of meat directly on top of a machbas of cholob and there's Zeya, it's going to be a problem. I'm not arguing in Shulchan Aruch. The only din is that the only time I'm worried that what goes up comes down, right? That's one of Newton's laws, I think, that what goes up comes down. The only time I'm chleishish for Newton is when I have a thicker thing, what we would call hevel, what Rosh Hashanah calls hevel. It happens if you look over here in the Dago Merivava. The Dago Merivava tainas that what goes up comes down. But in the back of the Shulchan Aruch, there Hagosa, the Imre Baruch, on the Dago Merivava, he says that what goes up doesn't come down. That's what about Zeya. What Shechter is saying is that by Zeya, I hold like the Imre Baruch, that what goes up does not come down. But by Hevel, I have to be nervous that what goes up comes down. Consequently, Rav Shechter says, I could use the same oven for Mochiks and Fleishik right after another because I don't have to be worried that something's going to come down. I am not supposed to use a keli of other gender. Well, in the event, it's going to be okay. So that's the shita of Rav Shechter regarding using ovens of using an oven for both Mochiks and Fleishiks. There are a few other kulas that come up over here. There's that kula, the Tshuvas HaBach, that Rav Moshe noted about if you have an escape hatch. Rav Kiva Eger references this somewhere in this Se'if. But Rav Kiva Eger is only willing to be makel on it if it's a suffix, if the Zayas Yad Saladispo. So using ovens, yeah.
Do you know what goes on in the Shechter?
I think they use the same oven, milking some fly shakes, one after the other. Yeah. The only thing is you have to inspect it, like it's mamish gunk, like if you have a spill in the oven, so it's you have to wipe it off. He doesn't drink milk, yeah, but his family does, come on. Like, yeah. Yeah. So these are, again, in Rabbi Schachter's article over there, I think he presents Rav Shechter incorrectly, but he also gives a number of mahalchim about what to do with the same oven for mochiks and fleishiks. Now, yeah.
Just one more thing. I can't figure it out.
We good?
Yeah.
Now, once I'm talking about ovens, so we have to talk about how I kasher an oven, no? So there's kashering the oven if I take over a new apartment and the oven is mamish treif. I remember when I was the Rebbe of a shul here, so we built a new kitchen for Nick, for the super. And it's like, it's mamish a kosher kitchen. We put it in, it's gevaldik, no? So Nick says, Rabbi, I want to show you, I'm using the new oven. He takes me in his mamish, a pig cooking in the oven. Like the thing lasted as kosher out for like 20 minutes. Like, thank you, Nick. He's a great guy. But thank you, Nick. But the point is, if you buy an apartment, you rent an apartment, there's an oven, landlord special. So what do you do about kashering that oven? So that oven absorbed tarifus. But it absorbed tarifus al yidei zeya, lechora, no? If I have a pizza oven, so the pizza is on the floor of the oven, so the oven absorbs it directly. But most of our ovens only absorb al yidei zeya.
So the whole thing you have reifa is directly on.
What?
The whole thing you have reifa milk or a lot of milk is assuming that.
So no, Recha is that I am cooking milk or and meat in the same oven at the same time.
What? It doesn't trafe up the oven itself.
It does not trafe up the oven itself. Zeya is milchik. Right? Recha is a face, like we spoke about particles, maybe. It's not really milk. Zeya is mamish milk. So how do I kasher my oven? So the issue is most relevant for kashering an oven for Pesach. How do I kasher my oven? If you look in Rabbi Eider's Hilchos Pesach book, page 178. So Rabbi Eider says that Rav Moshe felt that the zeya that comes up in the oven, mamish is like chametz is touching the oven. And if chametz directly touches something, so then the only way you get rid of the chametz is al yidei libun. Let's go slowly. The sukkim tell us in Parshas Matos, kodover she yavo ba'ish tavir ba'ish v'tahir, because she lo yavo ba'ish tavir ba'mayim. That means kibolo kach polto. I kasher something the same way it became treif. So something that becomes treif, directly treif, it's on, right? The iser mamish hits the thing, not through maya, through a pot, I kasher through hagala. Right? If I have treif, piece of meat in the pot, so the chazer goes from the pot into the water, that chazer goes from the chazer into the water, into the pot, so then I kasher ayyadei water, that's called hagala. But if I have a piece of chazer, then I roast on a stick, I need libun. The Gemara says over there that I only need libun when it is isur rabbala, not hetei rabbala. Right? If I have chazer on the spit, I need libun to kasher the spit. But if I have a carbon on the spit, so the time that the carbon goes into the spit, it's still a kasher carbon. It becomes nicer later on. It becomes treif later on. That's the definition of noser, by the way. It happens later, right? So it becomes noser later on. It becomes treif later on. So since it's hetei rabbala by the carbon, all you need is hagala. So if I have a frying pan that is milchig and I want to make it pariv again, so it's hetei rabbala, even though it's a frying pan, I mamish had the cheese on it directly, but all I need is hagala. There's a shayla v'halacha, we pointed out, a machlokes taisus and the ritva, and it seems to be a steer in the Shulchan Aruch about what the status of chametz is. Is chametz hetei rabbala or isur rabbala? Rav Moshe feels a huge chumrah, double chumrah. A, the zeya that hits the top of my oven is mamash and chametz is touching the oven. B, Rav Moshe says, chametz is isur rabbala. Consequently, the only way to kasher the oven is ayde libun gomor. To do libun gomor, Rabbi Eider writes, you have to take a blowtorch, put it on the oven for 7 minutes until it becomes mamish red hot. Do not touch it with your finger, by the way. It becomes red hot, and then you kasher your oven. That could be difficult. If you don't want to do that, what you should do is you have a metal box that you put inside your oven. And that way, you're really not cooking in the oven itself. You're cooking in the box inside the oven. That's a Moshe Shita. Rav Aaron Cutler's Shita is that the Zeya is not the same as the oven itself, as the, let's say, pizza oven itself. If I have pizza that goes on the floor of the oven, that is chametz that requires libun, says Rav Aaron. When I have zeya from the pizza that goes into the oven, so it doesn't need libun. Our ovens at home, the pashtus, the chametz, does not go in directly. It goes in ayidei zeya. Therefore, Rav Aaron says, you don't really need libun, gomor. You need, technically, hag'ala. Or, it's better, you could do libun kal. Libun kal is called kash nisraf me'eder hasheni. If I heat something to the temperature that straw would burn on it on the other side, I heat the inside of the oven, so it's, and then I put a piece of straw on the outside, it's going to burn. So in that case, that's called libun kal. Rav Aaron said, you could kash your oven for Pesach with libun kal. Because presumably it's not pizza on the oven directly. All year long, Rav Aaron would also say, I could kasher an oven with libun kal. I take over a new apartment, I could kasher it with libun kal, because the only concern is the steam. Steam is not mamish like the substance. Steam is like liquid from the substance, not like the substance itself. It's not like the pizza on the oven. So libun kal, which is the same as hag'ala, is sufficient. That's a Aaron shita. Let me just say the Rav, and then I'll hear from you. So the Rav has a third shita. The Rav shita splits between chametz v'pesach and other isurim. The Rav says that for chametz v'pesach, you could kasher al yedei libun kal because it's hetera bala. Hetera bala never requires real libun. Right, the Rav feels, right, we spoke about whether chametz is hetera bala or yisura bala, the two opinions in the Zohar, as to whether chametz represents gaiva, chametz represents the yetzer hara, right? Gaiva has some redeeming features, geis to kedusha, yetzer hara is entirely bad, right? This is like my shtickle Torah. I think this is the only Zohar. I quote other Zohars in like Peites. I quote a Zohar because the Bihar Gra quotes it. I don't quote that many Zohars in my Shiurim, but that's a Zohar, or two opinions in the Zohar. The Rav felt the Chametz is Hetera Bala. The Steer and Shulchan Aruch, the Rav answered differently than the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says you really have to treat Chametz like Yisura Bala. The Rav says, no, Chametz is Hetera Bala. Therefore, for Chametz, I kash my oven. From chametz, I kash my oven just by turning it up to the highest temperature. But if I take over a new apartment, I mamish the libun on my oven, etc. So the Rav is not the same as Rav Aaron, nor is he the same as Rav Moshe. Hi, Daniel.
Hi. Just if we return for, not talking about during the year, but just for chametz Pesach, why should I return to say at all? Because I'm not making whiskey in my oven. I'm making I'm not putting my pizza directly in the back. B, I'm not making whiskey. So what I'm doing here is putting dry bread in my oven.
Right? So dry bread doesn't really have zeya, or dry bread don't have to choshish that there's zeya. But let's say I make baked ziti.
But that's not the
and baked ziti has a baked ziti can have a lot of liquid. Or
but it's not that there's on the chametz, it's the liquid. It's the
other but it all becomes chametz stick. It's all cooking together. Come on. I have a cholent I put in the oven, right? There's mamish barley that's cooking. It's mamish chametz, right? So the chametz goes up. Sure it is. Oh, you think because according to the Rivash in the Mishkas Yankiv, but the Mishkas Yankiv didn't want to rely on that on, right, on Dereisas, right? It's a good thing to have in your back pocket, the Mishkas Yaakov, but... But when it comes to Paschal and Geshaiwa, Lemaisa, right? Mishnah Yankiv is cool, but yeah. Okay? So that's the story of kashering an oven for Pesach. Right? By the way, Rav Moshe also writes in that Chuban, Chelak Aleph Siman Mem, that you certainly don't need two grates. Right? You certainly don't need the din and the Ramah, Yesh Nizar B'chozeh, is not to be Zohir on Shtei Kederos Nogos, but to be Zohir on Zeya, even though it's covered. But if I know that I have a tripod, and the pot is on top of the tripod, there's no Zeya coming up, so in that situation, it's going to be okay. So let's talk about what we have so far. What we spoke about so far are the dinim of Zeya in general, which is relevant for whiskey on Pesach, and the dinim of kashering an oven for Pesach. Again, we're speaking begadol and not getting into the entire details. There's a Talmud Chacham who listens to my shiurim who pointed out that if you read the way Rabbi Eider on page 178 quotes Rav Moshe, Rabbi Eider is quoting Rav Moshe that if you have an oven that the inside is porcelain enamel, then you need libun gumper. Says Talmud Chacham, listens to my shiurim, David Brownstein, his name is. So he said, well, maybe Rav Moshe is not saying it by by a metal oven. Maybe Rav Moshe holds that by a metal oven, you don't need Leibum Gamor. No one says that, although it's Meduyak in Rabbi Eider's presentation. And Hasvarin Osenes, if I'm worried that this is Mamish, the substance that goes up, so I shouldn't need Leibum Gamor, etc. It's Ki'iluk Mamish went up. So the chametz goes up into the oven. Hello.
Sorry, just one more question. Will I need the occupations that are
called that? I'm sorry, I'm not wearing my hearing aid. Sure. Can you speak louder?
For the last line, that last under Amah.
Yeshli Zarba Jose.
I mean, it's either about Zaya or it's about Shaykh. You know,
or both.
Or both. How do we
so, five all holds that Yeshli Zarba Jose, that you should have separate grades. But Moshe Feinstein, I say it's not necessary. In our world, it's not necessary. Although there happens to be a machlokas between the Bach and the Magen Avraham and the Aruch Chaim Kuf Ayin Gimel about this, I have a few shiurim that you can hear online about this topic. But
we should be worried about it. You don't have to ask for stones.
Nah. I mean, I don't have separate grades on my stove. You should know, I did try at one point. It wasn't shy. I tried at the beginning when I moved into my new apartment. I tried to have the left side, the left side milchik, and the right side fleishik, but I realized that like on a Friday afternoon when I'm cooking a lot of food for Shabbos, I have like lots of fleishik stuff. It's not shayach. There was a time in my life, by the way, that I was machmir my oven for Pesach to use a box, like Rav Moshe. Like, why not? At this point, I moved into my new apartment. I have a self-cleaning oven. Self-cleaning ovens are mamish liban gomer. They get to like 800 degrees Fahrenheit. Right? So what you do is you kash your oven, self-cleaning oven, that's great. But be careful. Okay? There are many more times. There are many people who ruin their ovens Erev Pesach because they try to self-clean the oven a few times and your self-cleaning oven can't handle that many self-cleans. Don't do it many times. Right? Kashri oven, self-cleaning it, one cycle, etc. Some people, what they do is they try to do two cycles, one with the racks inside, one without the racks inside. I don't know if that's really necessary. Self-cleaning oven, it's very easy to kasher. I don't think people today have like continuous cleaning ovens or some of the other ovens that they were discussed. Most ovens today are self-cleaning ovens, but if you live in the Heights, you have like the landlord special and they'll give you whatever they've had in that apartment for the last 60 years. These are some of the dinim in Tzadi Beis Ches that are relevant for Hilchos Pesach. In Tzadi Beis, Tzadi Beis Fifth Test, just very quickly, there's a difference between the Ner Shal Chilev, Osli Kener Shal Shaiva, Shenata Femeno Tipa Akli, Ein Tzarkim Greda, Aval Chilev Mavu Tacham, Shenofa Mimenu Tipa Akli Tzarchag Ola. If I have a candle, and the candle is made out of Chilev, and the drop falls down from the Treif candle, Chilev is Treif, no? Treif fat. And we spoke about chilev is the fat that would go on the mizbeach with the carbon, no? You ever shecht an animal, you cut the animal open, it's mamish gorgeous. It's like silk, it's beautiful, no? So that is chilev d'ayraisa. The chilev ahakarev is chilev d'ayraisa. There's also chilev ahakloyos, which is d'ayraisa. That's the chilev on the kidneys. You take out the kidneys, you see little bits of chilev on it also. That's chilev d'ayraisa. The rest of the fat on the animal is called shuman, it's kosher. Eat a good piece of corned beef, right? It's only geshmak of corned beef if you have fat there, no? Beef jerky is not nearly as geshmak as good corned beef. Anyone who disagrees with this is not entitled to an opinion, right? Yeah, I know, it's like a thing now, that like people are into like different flavors of beef jerky. It's mamish, it's atzas hayetzer hara, right? Because geshmak of meat has to be fat, right? Don't say I'm wrong because you're wrong, right? That's the point. Now,
he's like that, and you're just sitting on the key because there's so many people want fatty meat on this planet. It's been so prevalent that you can't even.
Again, like face, if you have health issues and you want fatty meat, you don't want fatty meat. I could hear bedocha b'shasat chach gomor maybe, but like to eat beef jerky, now. What's the difference in case one and shochna in case two? What's the difference in ner shel chaylev that a little bit falls down on the plate, so you need greater? And if you have a pot of chaylev mehutach, so then you need a full-fledged hagolah. What's the difference between these cases? So the shach, oslam et ches. The shach writes that when you have a candle and chaylev falls down, that's going to be Irui Shenifsa Kakiluach. No? That's what he writes. Ne'er shekoin chreizel, shudolek mechila mehutach, devroteach machmasa'ar, v'chila mehutach roteach bekadera. Right? Die begreda, delochashiv Irui came in the Pasak Kakiluach. The Shach writes, in case one, it's Irui Shenifsa Kakiluach. And because it's Irui Shenifsa Kakiluach, all I need is greda. That the small area where the chaylev hit, I just scrape it off. Assuming you have like a wooden plate, you can kasher wood. Just take some sandpaper and rub it down, you kasher it that way. You rub just the area where it became, where it hit. But if I have a full pot of chaylev, so then, and it spills, so then it's irui mamish without nifsak, so then you need full hagolah. That's what the Shach says. And everybody and their uncle jumps up and down and they spit wooden nickels and they say, my dear beloved Shach, you're the one who told me in Kuf Hei Os Hei that Irui Shenifsak is also Irui. Right? Remember that? We learned that like 2 days ago or yesterday, right? Yesterday we saw the Ramah says Irui Shenifsak is not Irui. And that was Silsha the Shach in Kuf Hei Hei. And the Prima Godim had a Shtikal Torah where he says, well, it depends between Irui Shenizchal. If you have an Irui that's going on a cold surface underneath it, so then if it's not a direct stream, it's not a problem. But if I have an Irui that goes through the air, so the surface underneath does not cool it down, so then Irui Shenifsak, right, is a problem. It's only not a problem if it's Nizchal. That's why the Prima Godim wanted to answer the contradiction between the Shach and Kuf Hei and the Shach and the Ramah over here. We had a different answer, which was a tremendous chiddush, which is that the Shach and the Ramah are two different people. Right? That was our chiddush against the Prima Godim. Prima Godim is trying to reconcile a Shach with the Ramah. Right? It seems to me I don't have to reconcile them. They're two different people. But now I got a problem, though, because I have a Shach. The Shach is the same person as the Shach. The Shach who wrote Sadi Beis is the same Shach who wrote Kuf Hei. Probably. Right? Yeah, if you give me a documentary hypothesis over here, that's like really bad. Right? The Shach is the same person who wrote the Shach. So, the Shach over here is saying, Irisha Nifsak HaKiluach only prize greater than the Shach in Kuf Hei Hei says that Irisha Nifsak is the same as regular Iru. So the Prima Godim says over here, he quotes in the Minchas Yaakov. The Minchas Yaakov, the Raisha Rav, in his notes on the Torah, Chatos Klal Nun Hey Nun Vav Os Tes Zayin Yud Zayin. The Minchas Yaakov writes that there's a difference between Ochlim and Kalim. When the Shach over here is saying that Irisha Nifsak is not full-fledged Irui, and all you need is greda. That's because he's talking about landing on the keli. And the keli is thicker, harder, more difficult to absorb. Eichlim absorb more quickly. So the Shach holds that Irui Shenifsak is Irui with respect to Eichlim. With respect to Kalim's of the Prima Godim, it's not. That's the Prima Godim over here, Sifse Das Os Lamed Ches. It's the Prima Godim from the Minchas Yaakov. Nice answer. I like it. The Yad Avram on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch, however, has a different approach. Which Lofi and the Yistaiti, the Shach himself says. The approach is like this. When I have an Irui Shenifsak, sometimes the Irui Shenifsak could be I have a lot of liquid and it stops and then it goes. No? Sometimes I could have a tipa. When I have a drop that comes off of a candle, what that is it's just a tipa that comes off of a candle. Just a tipa comes off of the candle. So then in that situation, it's not so significant. All you need is greda. But if I have an iroi of a significant accumulation, a nice chunk of stuff, so then the shas can hold such an iroi, even though it's nifsak hakiluach, is the same as a regular iroi. Even though the lashon over here in the Shulchan Aruch is achil of mehutacham shenafal mimenu tipa, the tipa isn't really a tipa. If I have chil mehutacham, what that means is I have a pot that's cooking chalev. So the stuff that comes off, it's not just a tipa. By a candle, I understand the tipa comes. It's the same word tipa, but it means different things. A tipa from the candle comes off, it's just a drop. But a tipa over here comes off, it means that there's like a flow. So a flow, right, is a flow. And even though it's nifsak, etc., it's still a flow. The shach, me'ezah sibah shehi, decided to interpret the mechaber. That there's a difference between irish and nifsak and not irish and nifsak. It seems to me that the shach has a dual role. The shach is a posek and the shach is a pashtun. The shach is interpreting the mechaber that is deitiv irish nifsak and not. When the shach himself would say it depends on whether there's a tipa or not a tipa, and that's what the shach writes in Sadi Gimel Osavov, and that's what the Yad Avram writes over here in the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch. Hello, Mr. Pellajorts.
One last question. But what about all Steve Hay? We're talking about a teapot that falls on the side of a pot. And we have all these worries that maybe it's not shishim in your whole food.
But that
would be a really big teapot.
But that's a big teapot.
And what's the line between a big teapot and hero? Like,
so again, we saw the difference, if you remember, in the din of Ha'esh Sarfo. There's a difference between one tipa and four or five tipas. That's what the Balei HaShulchan said, and we were medame it to Kellogg's Raisin Bran, because two scoops is only bigger than one scoop if like the scoops are the same size, but since a scoop isn't a defined measurement, who says two scoops is bigger than one scoop, no? That was our chiddush. Like, what's considered? I don't know exactly what's a lot, what's a little. If you're asking me like that practical show, I don't know. What I do know is that if it's just one tipa, then the shach is going to be mekel. Okay, so these are some of the halachos. I think today we covered, we completed Siman Tzadi Beis, and we touched on relevant issues in terms of chometz, etc., because since the Yom Tov Pesach is coming up, it's important to discuss that.